You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS FM 98.3 and 102.1, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
I'm Earth Jallo. This is Getting Down to Earth on the world's greatest radio, TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard. Let's get down, y'all. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. You're in touch with me, your host, Earth Jallo, and this is Getting Down to Earth. This is radio the way it should be heard. I just came in about a half hour ago, and I felt like I was in like a twilight zone because I was coming through a blizzard, and I was like, wait a minute, because somebody told me just a couple of days ago that spring was here, and the sun was shining, and I was real confused, and it don't take really a lot to confuse me.
It don't.
So I was like, what is going on? All I saw was just all this white stuff just coming at me, and I was like, oh my gosh, are you freaking serious right now? And so it's cold again, and whoever keeps praying for snow and cold, please stop. Just stop.
I don't think anybody.
I think somebody doing it. Ugh. My Auntie Marcia, if she listening, my Auntie Marcia love the snow. This is her little joke.
Tell her Aspen is always open. Because we done here.
Okay,
I'm a spring baby. I'm not on it. I'm not on it.
I just knew, y'all, that my flip-flops, I have them lined up by
the door.
How
long you been in Ohio?
Girl, no, I got them lined up by the door. They getting ready.
You know March is bipolar.
I know, but you know I've been getting my toes okay. ready. I've been scrubbing, right. Knocking off the dust off the back of them heels. You know what I'm saying? So when them sandals come out, that girl, they ready.
So when that nice day hits, you don't even got to think about it?
I started polishing the toes. Mm-hmm. I done fouled them down. You know what I'm saying? I done cut them suckers.
You cut them suckers
girl,
down.
Girl, because you know the wintertime is kind of horrible on your feet. Yeah. Now, you know, because you got boots on. You got
wintertime
leggings
is beast
on.
Time.
You know
we all turn into something.
Yeah. I just went and got my toes done. Like, now I'm mad. Because
now you getting ready. You getting ready. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know? You got your nails done, too.
I know. She look all cute.
Y'all like that color?
I really do. I want that for my feet.
Oh, okay.
I really want that for my toes. That's really nice, girl.
You know what happened the last time you put your foot out there?
What happened?
In the parking lot.
What'd I do?
It wasn't what you did.
Oh, girl, yes, right.
But did you hear that story about the guy who licked some woman's toes in the Walmart parking lot?
Stop it.
He did it twice, and he lied and told people he was a podiatry student.
Oh, look, I thought somebody... you were going to say he was lying and telling his people he was doing a taste test.
You know what? But he did say something about he was looking at, like, different types of feet on different types of women.
Okay.
And the one chick put that foot out there, and he was massaging it, and then he put her foot in his mouth.
That's called a foot fetish.
And I
don't say that because I know somebody here in Columbus that got a foot fetish just like that.
See?
Don't get me started.
Well, I don't think they were in Ohio.
Thank goodness, because I don't want to run into him.
But... you know, Earth had a moment some years back.
I had a moment.
It was foot fetish dude.
Wow,
girl. Was it the Walmart parking lot?
No, it was Kroger's.
Oh, Kroger's.
He followed me around the store.
Wow.
I didn't even think my feet was that cute. Okay? Talking about he wanted to put my toes in his mouth in the parking lot. I said, huh? Where they do this at?
Well, we'll show this one.
Right? We're going to have a show on that, y'all, coming up. Fetishes. Okay? Because
right.
That was crazy.
The weird ones.
The weird ones, because that's, yeah.
Because she's been walking all day, little.
Girl, walking all day.
Mm-hmm. All day.
No, the toes are sweating in between.
That jam build up.
But see, when you throw polish on the toenails, they really can't tell.
Is that what's going on?
They can't tell, girl. They can't tell. See. Y'all so crazy. Let me tell y'all, I'm in the studio. My co-host, Camila Terry, she got some makeup on, y'all. She thinks she cute today. She got her lipstick on.
Let me tell you.
What?
What? Whenever I come here, I don't do my hair.
It's cute, though.
Yeah, but I ain't do it.
It is cute.
So, and I had told myself I was going to do my hair this show.
Okay.
And
so,
it got wet.
So what you did was your makeup
instead. So I put my makeup on.
I ain't mad at you, girl. Look good. Your hair is cute,
no outfit, just This was a whole lot of in 15 minutes. Mila had a rough day today.
Well, that's okay. We got you.
So I'm glad y'all here with me.
So I'm really happy that you're laughing, you know.
That's it wasn't like that earlier.
No, it wasn't.
Got to laugh to keep from crying sometimes.
I'm telling you. Sometimes. And then we have over here to my right, okay, Miss Barbara Freeman.
What's up, y'all?
Yay! Y'all gonna get to know Miss Barb. I'm telling y'all, I ain't never had no meeting for 5 and 6 hours.
Oh my God.
And it was great.
From 8:30 to 3?
Girl.
8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m.
We went to a part-time job.
Okay. Like, we was doing some
It was the bomb, though.
Girl.
And, you know, and the folks was just so nice. Nobody kicked us out.
Right.
You Nobody know, offered us more drinks and things.
Right.
I was like mad I had like to that. Leave a little early.
Yeah, but, you know, you stayed.
But
you,
I got
you was
in.
There. You
Look,
left
I
didn't
take the baby to school. Like, let's go.
Because you left
really
at lunch.
Right. I said, she got to eventually get to school. This
eventually.
But, yeah.
But she had a good day bonding with, you know, some older females.
Yeah.
So that was good for her. She could see that, you know, black women really do get along. We really can go out to eat without talking about other people and enjoy a decent meal and have some positive vibes among us.
Yeah,
so
really
that's great.
Time.
Yes, we did. We actually did.
Because Barbara
awesome.
Is the bomb,
Oh, my
y'all.
God.
Oh, thank you. You're the bomb too. Well,
no,
I'm gonna stay.
You know how you meet some folks
mm-hmm.
and you just know.
That
I had to
energy.
Call her the next day. I was like, girl, I had such a good time with you yesterday. What you doing?
Right.
Like we was all friends.
Instant friends.
Right. You know what I mean? And I don't do that.
No, you don't.
I really don't do that. So when I came in and I looked at you, I was like, oh, I like her. And she's so cute.
Yeah.
She's so cute. She and then she brought her daughter. It was a surprise and a treat for me because she is so cute.
Oh, thank my God. You. Is she beautiful?
I know.
Represent. That hair popping?
I know.
Also, Tila Barton.
Oh, Tila Barton. Hi, Tila.
She's
so cute. She's so little, y'all. I'm telling y'all. So, you know, I figured we would, you know, just go ahead and close out Women's History Month. You know, I didn't do a lot of things on this because I think women are great every day.
Right.
And so, but I wanted to do this particular show because Camila, you know, was very adamant about, you know, she's really heavy into trafficking, sex trafficking, and things like that. And see, I didn't know that about you a few years ago. Is this a new passion of yours or?
It's only been probably about a year that I got active.
Mm.
But you know who my inspiration was?
Who?
See the eyeball over here.
Miss Barb. Okay.
Hey.
She can inspire you to do anything.
Girl,
can't she?
I told her I was writing checks and I heard her
they
story.
They ain't let them come to me, baby.
One day I'm going to write you a check.
Absolutely.
It's going to say Barbara Freeman.
Right. Absolutely. All right. Look for
but
a nice
it was
amount.
For a good cause of other women. Though,
absolutely.
So appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
But you know what? If it wasn't for your courage.
Oh my God.
To tell your story. Because it's not easy to tell your story in front of people.
It's not.
I've done it before and it's
hard. How long? See, for me, because I'm with you on that, Camila, mm-hmm. it's not easy to stand up in front of people and let them judge you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Just openly, naked, unabashed. So it's
right.
like, you know, and so when was it for you that you decided that, okay, I'm going to tell this story because I know that it's not just my story and I want to help other women. When were you comfortable with that?
Well, you know what? I really didn't have a choice because I do believe that once I started in my healing process of recovery that, you know, God spoke to me through many different people and they were saying, you know, I come here, you know, just to hear you and what you're saying is so powerful and these women are listening. And so then, you know, the news stations and everything start coming in. But for me to develop just within myself from that little girl on the inside that was lost, I said, you know what? I started feeling better about myself once I started sharing about the pain and things that I was going through. And what I had to recognize is that I was trying to heal the little girl on the inside, that 13-year-old little girl that got lost. So now I was seeing where my pain was going. And once I felt a healing from that, which is still something that I have to work on and heal from, it just started to pour. And it started to pour and it started to pour. And God gave me confirmation and he said that this is your message. This is the assignment that I'm giving you right now. And you are to speak of what I have brought you through.
I love it. I love it. And you know what? It's so ironic that you said that it was not, it's not just healing for others, but it's healing for you.
Yes.
And as an inspirational, I don't say motivational speaker because, you know, for me, motivation is something that somebody already has. I can inspire you to do a little more.
That's right.
So, you know, I said, you know, inspirational speaking, that too was, it was the same for me.
Mm-hmm.
Once I got up and was able to
verbalize it to other people, it makes it easier. And not only are you healing them, you're also healing yourself. Exactly. And I tell people that all the time. I don't just do this for you. I need this too for myself.
That's right.
You said that you were addicted, because I want to just jump around because the story is so good.
Thing.
It's just so much, you know.
Do your thing.
You said that, you know, you were addicted.
Yes.
Tell us what you were addicted to.
I was addicted to crack cocaine, the lifestyle of prostitution, and making money.
And making money. Now, you was addicted to crack cocaine. How long?
23 years.
23. You look fantastic.
Thank you, baby.
Girl, that ain't nothing but the universe and the protection that you have over your life, because they knew that your journey wasn't finished.
That's right.
That you had more to do. So for 23 years, sis, you was on crack. You said prostitution. At what age did you start walking the streets?
It wasn't that I started walking the streets. One of the things that happened is it happened on the inside. I was very clueless about the things that came along with the addiction. First of all, let me say this. I didn't even know what I was addicted to until I became 20 years old. Once I was introduced at 16, at 13, I started to fantasize because so much was going on in the home. The abuse and everything was going on in the home. And I was thinking of a way, just sitting outside, just thinking, how can I escape this? How can I get away from this? How can I get away from this mindset? You know, there's no attention, you know, towards me. My mother couldn't show me the love and attention because she was being abused. My stepfather couldn't show up because he studied beating on my mom to cover up what he's doing. So I said, well, you know what? And I found glamour in seeing other girls in the school, in the neighborhood, you know, with these young guys, with these guys, and they had flashy cars, they was buying them gifts, getting them roses, you know. And as a young girl, if you ain't getting love mainly from your parents, then you're going to seek it on the outside. You're going to seek outside validation.
Absolutely.
So I got tripped up at 16 years old in an older man. I was 16, he was 22. And this man introduced me to crack cocaine, which I didn't even find out what it was until I was 20 years old when I seen it on the news. And I had to tell my mother, I had to tell my mom. I said, you know what, Mom? I said, something I need to talk to you about. Mm-hmm. And she was like, what is it? And, you know, I just thank God that at that time that, you know, she was able to sit down and give me her ear, because I didn't know of anyone else that I could take that to, because I really didn't know what it was. But when she seen it on the news that night, you know, she was like, really? But she still didn't know the effects that it was going to have on me and my life.
Right.
And not even did I know that I was addicted and it was about to tear me away from everything that I ever dreamed of, you know, being a singer. I sing.
Wow.
You know, just a lot of things, you know, that a young girl, you know, would dream of or want to be. So just being addicted, you know, at that early age, like I lost myself completely.
Mm. And that was from between 13 and 16.
16 to 20.
16 to 20.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And so in between there, now you have, you were out there, you were in the streets, you were on the streets, you on crack. Mm-hmm. How did you get introduced to cocaine, crack cocaine?
I got introduced, like I said, from this older guy. He was 22 years old. It was a guy, that was infatuated with me. You know, I never knew it. You know, they had a bet in my neighborhood who would get me when I grew up. It was a $500 bet. And I always wondered, you know, once I did get this guy the time of day, you know, he came over. He always came over. He never tried to get with me sexually. He never disrespected me. He started showering me in furs, diamonds, paying for school books, paying for school pictures and all of that, you know. And I would just sit in the car and he would just, you know, pull out and smoke these joints. Now, I admit that I was already smoking marijuana,
mm-hmm.
You know, but marijuana, I mean, as of today, I don't think that it was something that would cause me to go out and walk the streets and,
right,
and sell my body, you know, or things like that. I mean, I have spoken to some girls, you know, that say that they, you know, turn dates with men and different things like that. But on my caliber, I don't think that I would have done it from, you know,
right,
from that state of mind.
Right.
But anyway, this man was older. And I think what it is that he was scared at that moment to get me because I was so young.
Mm.
But you know how the enemy is deceitful and he uses a trap to trap us. And he trapped me at an early age, you know. So then once I became grown, I'm 20 years old now when I'm using.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, okay, well, wait a minute, hold up now. Now she's getting grown.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and he wasn't coming around as much because I had another boyfriend. I started having children. I wasn't using drugs all the time. It was periods where I had stopped because I never knew that I could go
purchase it myself. Mm. I never knew how to, you know, buy it or anything like that. But that's how I got introduced.
Okay. All right. Wow. Mm-hmm. At what age did you start having your children?
I had my first daughter at 17 years old. And, well, they back to back. 17, 18, and 19.
17, okay.
17, I had them at 17, 18, 19, and then I waited 5 years to have my last daughter.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And so what's the relationship like with your children? You know, you said you were on crack for 23 years. You have four babies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I guess for anybody that would be rough.
Yeah. And all children take to that differently.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
In that experience. Yeah.
So, you know, at what age did you start having your children, and what is the relationship with them like now?
Well, like I said, the age I had them was 17, 16, I mean, 17, 18, 19, and then 5 years later, y'all right. do the math.
right.
So anyway, you know, the relationship, I'm going to say this, over the course of the years of my addiction, you know, there was times where I would get sober, you know, it was times, you know, where I would go to jail. And, you know, I thank God, you know, cause, my mother took my children in custody. You know, she said, I'm gonna take your babies, you know, till you get yourself together, you know, you can get your babies back, you know, so forth. One of the things is that when I came in, from, you know, trying to stay sober for 30 days or mm-hmm. I would go to a 6-month program, you know, I didn't even know how to be a mother.
Right.
You know, and I think more so, I was coming in very aggressive, you know, telling them what to do, what they can't do, you know, mm-hmm. and they're looking at me like, you know, like, well, who is you and where you been?
Right, mm-hmm. right.
You understand mm-hmm. what I'm saying? You coming in here trying to run something and this and that, but see, I got my mother in the back saying, you know, they doing this or they're not doing that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think more I was trying to take up for my mother than understanding the part that I was supposed to play as a mother. But I had not gained that respect for them for that because I kept breaking those promises and disappointing them and failing them. So I'm going to say that my relationship is different with each one of my children.
Right. Okay.
You know, and it's been very, in the beginning it was very hard and now it's challenging, but I'm ready to face that challenge and I do every single day. I didn't understand the relationship that I had with them in the beginning, but, one of my daughters, you know what I'm saying, just go to total, you know, disrespect and I could be everything in the book, but, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking that, you know, she's just hateful, but what it is that she was hurt.
Yeah, she's guarding.
You know, like mm-hmm. you abandoned me, you know what I'm saying? And, mm-hmm. and I didn't grasp that, you know, until, my last treatment, you know, that I did in Amethyst, you know, I didn't grasp that, you know, I really had to sit down and work with and parenting and counseling, mm-hmm. you know, and things like that. Then I have a daughter to where it didn't matter. My second daughter, you know, where it didn't matter. You know, all I want is my mom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Because the fathers wasn't there either.
Right.
You know, I was the one using and they was the one selling.
Right.
You know, that's just how it went. So, you know, sometimes when you in relationships and once one parent go, the other one go too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we both was delinquent in that area, but that child was like, you know, mom, you know, we need you, you know, we love you. And the most sensitive thing to me is this. On Christmas time, they took their money and bought me Christmas gifts. They clothed me in clothes. I'm talking about they had me like I was going to school.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And I would just cry, but I was so, you know, sick in my addiction that, you know, I would take off again.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And I had no appreciation or gratitude for that. And it's not that I felt like anything was owed to me because I was emotional by it. You know what I'm saying? But I still couldn't face it.
Right.
You know, so then I got my third daughter. And now my third daughter, she all to herself. She in her own world and she will not let you in. You understand what I'm saying? And I didn't know, you know, how to accept that. So like I said, I tried to be aggressive. You know, then my fourth daughter, you know, I had her when I was in prison.
Ah.
And so my godmother, my mom, you know, found this lady. I used to go over to her house, you know, and play with her kids, you know, after school. We used to sing on the back porch and she took my daughter in.
Okay.
You know, and my intention, because her father, He said, ain't no babies coming here, you know. And
the guy that you had the baby with?
Yeah, the guy that I had the baby with, the one that got me started on drugs at 16 years old. I ended up having a daughter by him. I ended up being in a relationship with him for 13 years. You know, it was very dysfunctional. I was in jail. He was controlling. He was abusive. You know what I'm saying? And he was my enabler and my dealer. He wasn't really my dealer because I didn't have to pay for nothing. But still, and he kept me trapped off from society, the world, and becoming the woman that God wanted me to be because I was trapped in that mindset. And like I said in the beginning, as a 16-year-old, this man had a vision for me. So anyway, my
child. Right. At 16, he had already knew it.
He had a vision for, that's how powerful the vision
is. Yeah. Yes.
It wasn't good.
No,
but he had a vision for me.
And he thought it was love. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And the reasons that he loved me, and not getting off the topic about my children.
Yeah, I got you.
But the reason, you know, that he loved me was because I was that size that he wanted. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I was everything that he had plotted in his mind as I was young growing up.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You understand what I'm saying? So when he got me, you know, when I got abused out there in the streets, I was in a coma, you know, for a while. And when I got abused, and he went over to my mom's house. He told my mom said, go out there and get my daughter. They're going to kill her. You know, and this man came and got me. And it was just like Satan, you know, if he was to come to be a thief in the night, you know, and he got me. And that was it. I was trapped. You know, everything was his way. I was locked in.
You know what? If I can stop you, because I just did a lecture at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I meant to tell y'all, I did my first.
Well, you didn't invite us so we could came and support you.
I'm sure
you.
I was at Ohio State.
Oh, wow.
Well, I have to go again Friday because, you know, now I'm an honorary professor. Not really, but in my head, I am.
Okay.
I have handouts and everything.
You have to think like that in order to see yourself in
exactly.
the position. Absolutely.
But what I was telling the students is that because they were, like, super green, mm-hmm. like, you could tell all of these lily perfectly pure people at Ohio State, you know. Now, they're sociology majors, but when I was asking them questions, they had no clue, like street drugs, whatever, and all this mm-hmm. other kind of stuff. But what I was trying to explain to them is the allure of it, and that a lot of women who get caught up in prostitution don't just hit the block one day.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like, mm-hmm. we look like selling this is the thing to do.
Right.
So can you kind of expand a little bit more about what the allure looked like? Because that's why I titled the show this. Well, with my little post, I said the lies about the pimp game.
Yeah, absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. But right now, we're going to station identification. Diane, Healthy for Life. Diane Thomas Beasley is a woman of the people. Diane Lynn Thomas Beasley is a woman of the people, dedicated to improving the lives of others through political education and action. She always has great guests on the program. Diane is determined to enlighten and inform the community, society at large, and the world. Broadcast Thursdays on TalkTainmentRadio.com. The allure of the pimp game. Go ahead, girl.
Okay, the allure of the pimp game is most definitely the baseline, you know, where they, you know, to lure, you know, women, young girls in, you know, sometimes it starts with runaways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it starts with homes that are dysfunctional.
Because you came from a dysfunctional
I came from a dysfunctional,
right.
you know.
And they seek that
home.
Out.
And they seek.
It's almost like you got a sticker on your forehead or something.
Mm-hmm.
I come from a dysfunctional home mm-hmm. because it's almost like predators, they can spot us.
Right, yes. And prey on you.
It's like, oh my God, how did you know?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. One of the things is that, you know, like I look for the young girls today. Like, you can drive down, you know, West Broad Street. You can mm-hmm. drive down Cleveland Avenue. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times. And once people are more educated about the pimp game and trafficking, human trafficking, so forth, they'll see that it's in the weakness of mm-hmm. women. And the weakness is the lack of love and a lack of someone telling them how beautiful they are. So once a guy or a young boy or whoever rolls up on them and tell them, like, I like your hair, or, you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
Your teeth is pretty, I like your smile, you know,
mm-hmm.
they'd be captured that quick.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, because no one has ever told them that.
Mm-hmm.
So to be lured into that, you know, the first thing they think is you lacking something. And if a man have money,
mm-hmm.
the young girl is going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The young girl, if he got money, the young girl is going. And as
right.
soon as he go buy that outfit, or he go get her nails done, to all of that, she gonna feel like I'm running away, I ain't going back, you know, because mm-hmm. the family's dysfunctional, you know. They don't even care if I'm gone, or you know, they so wrapped up in they stuff. You kind of understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So one of the things that I look for today is these young girls, And I tell them, you know what, you are so beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, let me tell you, like my daughters. Mm-hmm. I tell my daughters that you are beautiful
every day. Yep.
Every day. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you so pretty. Yep. I like your hair.
You should hear it at least 3 or 4 times before you hit the schoolhouse.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Because by that time, you know, when the boy came on to tell you, oh, you so pretty, but tell me something else. My daddy already told me that this morning.
Already told me that this morning.
Already said, I told myself.
That's right.
So your fourth time ain't making not a hill of beans worth of difference over here, brother, because I already know.
That's right.
Right. Tell me something I don't know.
Because we, and that's so very true. Because I, you know, I have young daughters. I have 2 daughters, 25 mm-hmm. and 19. And I'm telling you, it is so amazing to me what they allow the young men to get into their ears with and what really, you know, and I'm like, that's all he had to say to go out with you to get a date. That he didn't have to say anything else, huh? And I'm like, it's
because we perpetuate these images or everything that we see from social media. You know, I'm on it like everybody else. But you're looking at your Instagram, you're looking at your Facebook, you're looking at television, and they keep telling us you have to look this way.
Yeah,
this is what these guys want. If you know, and you then know, like the video crazy. Girl thing, like, well, she's being adored, or you got to have a butt that looks like this,
well,
and you
so
got to have
crazy
hair.
Because. My daughter has the most beautifulest chocolatey creamy skin I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And the boy, the only thing he had to say was, you pretty for a dark skinned girl. And see, there, that would have been a turn off for me because, you know, I'm like, pretty for a dark skinned girl. What? Right. Dark skinned women ain't pretty.
Exactly.
And then I'm telling her, and she's never seen me, you know, date what they call thugs. I'm into intellectuals. Right. I want somebody that can stir some conversation.
Exactly.
Okay, for me, that's what gets me going. Right. That's what gets me going. And I don't like a man to ask me for my money. Exactly. I get amnesia. I get to acting crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Itching, anxiety attacks start happening and whatnot.
Right. My friends, my male friends, they be like, don't ask her, girl, honey child. You got to go ask somebody else because if you ask her for 20, she expects you to give her 40 back. You're darn straight. Darn
here we
straight.
Go. Mm-hmm.
That's okay. What the cash advance price going to do.
I'm just saying. The dudes at the little post office that be outside talking about something, you got a dime or a dollar or whatever, be outside the post office. I said, hold on, brother. You the man. I'm the woman. You supposed to be giving me some money. Now they don't even talk. They don't bother me no more.
Right.
They see me. Here she come talking about I need to give her some of what I collected. Who she? What?
Exactly. You know what I tell them? I say, listen here now. Your limbs working just like mine. Now if you standing out here all day
and walk to my window
from that corner to that corner down there,
you can walk to McDonald's.
Able to walk to McDonald's, fill out an application,
and handle your
whatever
business.
It is, and handle your business.
But self esteem is a big thing now.
You know what?
And I don't think a lot of young girls have, even the pretty ones. Don't be fooled by the pretty.
No, the self-esteem, that's what I'm trying to, that's where I'm going here.
Yeah.
What is it with us as black women that we feel that we're not good enough?
Because your first validation comes from your father.
Ah!
And if your daddy's not around,
who's going to validate you?
It's the first relationship you have with the man that's not sexual.
Exactly.
And so a woman that has a good relationship with her father, who tells her how beautiful she is, who takes her to the soccer games or whatever it is that she wants to do.
Out to dinner, open the car door.
Exactly. That's what she's used to. She's already been validated from seed.
So when you don't have that.
When you don't have that,
and
you're seeking validation your entire life, from some outside man that it really can't give it to you.
Can't give
it to you. And I'm not saying you can't find a good man.
You can find
him. You can find a good man.
But you know what? That's what our problem is. We always looking for one because we don't know what he looks like because our mothers ran the households.
Right.
Most of us.
That's right.
In the hood. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that is a very, very, very valid point. Because if you don't know how a man is supposed to treat you, how are you going to pick a husband?
Exactly.
How are you going to pick a husband?
Exactly.
You can't.
Right.
You can't. You something is missing.
Right.
And then, you know, I always have to go back to this, Donnella Martin Braggs, one of her